Welcome to Free Speech Bites. I'm Kirsty Hughes, Chief Executive at Index on Censorship. Free Speech Bites is our podcast series made in association with SAGE. In this series, Nigel Warburton interviews a number of leading figures about free expression and why it matters.
Ma Qian is a Chinese writer. He's best known for his account of a trek across China to Tibet, Red Dust, and for his novel Beijing Coma. I spoke to him in London, where he now lives. Ma Qian, welcome to Free Speech Bites.
Hello, I'm Ma Qian.
The topic we're going to focus on is free speech and China. I wonder if we could just begin by saying something about your own personal experience of censorship.
As soon as my first novel, Stick Out Your Tongue, was published in 1987, the government denounced it as spiritual pollution and ordered all copies to be destroyed. So right from the start, I became a banned writer and haven't been able to be published in China since. Even my name can't be mentioned there. For 25 years, my name and my works have been wiped out by the Communist Party.
How did you continue writing and develop as a writer with that degree of censorship?
Writing is part of my life. If I didn't write, I couldn't live. Of course, I wish my books could appear again in China, and over the years I've tried many times to get them published there. I sent my second novel, Nine Forks in the Road, to 30 different Chinese publishing houses, but they all rejected it, merely because of who I was. I submitted my novel, The Noodle Maker, under a slightly altered name, and managed to find a publisher for it. But a week after it appeared in the bookshops, the authorities discovered that I was the author and ordered all copies to be removed and destroyed.
So your work is translated into English and has a massive circulation. Do you think your work is actually widely read in China?
Most writers write in the language they are born with and naturally hope that their books will be read by their fellow countrymen. But my attempts to get published in China have always failed. To my surprise, my book Red Dust was accepted quite readily by a publishing house in Beijing. But when I saw the finished version, I was horrified. They got round the problem of my name by referring to me on the front cover as the English author, Mai Zhan, and without my permission, the editor had added photographs of Beijing with captions that said, "This district has now been transformed into a beautiful area full of lush greenery and hope," or, "Following efforts to clean up the capital's waterways, the river around the Imperial Palace is now crystal clear." Of course, these photographs and captions were at complete odds with the book. The editor cut all of the politically sensitive passages and even went as far as rewriting whole scenes. At the end of the book, I describe witnessing the sky burial of a Tibetan woman whose corpse is left out on a mountain and devoured by vultures. But in the published version, the editor cut the burial entirely and rewrote the passage so that the woman isn't dead, but instead opens the door of her room to me and smiles sweetly. Despite these many changes, when the authorities found out that the so-called English author, Mai Zhan, was in fact me, all copies of the book suddenly disappeared.
Why do you think the Chinese authorities are so afraid of you writing as you want to write?
Do you know why the Chinese authorities are so afraid of you writing as you want to write?
There's no doubt about it. It's because of the way they govern the country. It's about control. Dictators generally have a simple mentality. If you're on their side, they allow you to do your work. If you're against them, they forbid you to work.
And yet China has produced some incredibly brave dissidents who have been outspoken. I mean, we obviously know about Ai Weiwei, Liu Xiaobo, and many others. How is it that China has produced so many strong voices of dissent when censorship is so apparent and so forceful?
Because
China is too big and its problems are too great. The authorities spend huge amounts of money on the censorship system, but there will always be some places that will evade their surveillance. They spend a fortune on clamping down on the internet, but still news leaks out. Sometimes it's by accident that a voice of dissent emerges. Ai Weiwei, for example, lived in America for 10 years and learnt about free speech and free thought. And when he returned to China, he was able to incorporate these ideas into his work. His younger brother, Ai Zhan, is a famous painter in China who teaches at the Beijing Art Institute. These two brothers have been formed by different environments and have completely different ways of seeing the world.
I can understand, as a writer, that it's frustrating that you can't publish or that your work gets changed when it is published. But beyond that, what value do you attach to free expression?
Freedom of expression is the most fundamental of all freedoms. Without it, our spirits are crippled and we're unable to live meaningful lives. The problem is that in China there is not a strong tradition of freedom of expression. Free speech and free expression are phrases we discuss, but they've never been put into practice. They've never existed as a reality.
Are you saying that the obstacles aren't just external, but they are internal as well? Because if you have been brought up in a culture where there isn't free expression, it's harder to see the value or to appreciate the value?
He said, 咱们把这个事情弄清楚一点，是不是你认为作为我们作家，我们不光是要面对外面的这样的审核制度或者不能够言论自由的表达，而且我们也要面对我们自己的束缚，由于这么多年的，由于这种传统和历史的这种束缚，这种习惯的思想。
If you stop anyone in the streets of Beijing and ask them, do you have free speech? They would say, of course I do. Even most Chinese writers and intellectuals will insist they can say whatever they like. The Communist Party has controlled freedom of expression for so long that this control has become normality, and most people are no longer aware of it. It's different from the situation in Western countries, where citizens are more aware of their rights to free speech and protest against any attempt to curtail it. In China, some brave people do stand up now and again and demand free expression, but in the end, nothing is achieved. 100 years ago, a famous thinker and government official, Yang Yuei, sent petitions to the emperor calling for political and social reform, and his ideas were implemented for 100 days before Empress Dowager Cixi finally clamped down. Still, for a brief time, Yang Yuei was allowed to give public lectures about his ideas for a free country and a new republic. In today's China, that kind of criticism would never be tolerated.
This kind of censorship must create a very strange relationship to history and in your book, Beijing Coma, for instance, the Cultural Revolution and what happened then, and particularly what happened in Tiananmen Square, loom large. These are major aspects of Chinese history which many people in the population and beyond know very little about.
他说你这样的，由于这样的一个制度，我们就产生了一种很奇，跟历史产生了一种很奇怪的关系。比如说你在你北京Coma，还有在你的其他的书里头提到的一些发生的事情在中国，其他的人就知道的，他问的问就知道的或者理解就完全不一样，跟历史。
It's very simple. Tiananmen Square does not exist in Chinese history anymore. It's like something out of Orwell's 1984. If you discuss Tiananmen Square with ordinary people, they will say, oh, that's all in the past. Even my sister has said this to me. This brainwashing, this attempt to erase history, will affect China and even the rest of the world to an extent that we just can't see now. If we stop remembering the past and stop analysing it and reflecting on it, then the horrors of history are bound to repeat themselves. The Chinese people are given false truths and facts and are taught a history that is filled with lies and devoid of meaning. This makes it difficult for them to think rationally or make sound moral judgments. Just take the recent tensions between Japan and China. As soon as the Japanese government announced that it was considering buying the disputed Jiaoyu Islands from the Japanese owner, young people across China flew into a blind rage, burned Japanese cars, ransacked Japanese shops, and waved banners that said, kill the Japs. When history is erased and distorted, and people are constantly fed lies and propaganda, morality is undermined, and society becomes insecure and unstable.
I can understand how a government can suppress information about Tiananmen Square, although thousands of people were directly affected. It wasn't like the Cultural Revolution where millions of people were directly affected. How can the authorities disguise the facts about the Cultural Revolution?
He said, I can understand. 政府可以掩盖天安门事件的真相，因为它只牵涉到几千个人。可是，对于文化大革命的真相来说，那牵涉到上百万的人，成百万、上千万的人，那样那么多真相，政府是怎么样试图掩盖的呢？
Tiananmen Square and facts about the Cultural Revolution are only a part of what the government has tried to hide. There were many tragedies in the early 1950s and 60s, which you don't hear about either. Once the authorities start to suppress or alter information about the past, they can change a whole generation's way of thinking. This suppression of Chinese history has also seeped into the West. For example, during the celebrations of the 20th anniversaries of the fall of the Berlin Wall and the end of the Soviet Union, there was little mention of the influence of China on these events. It was as though the West had forgotten about Tiananmen as well, and how much the Chinese democracy movement inspired the revolutions that erupted in the Eastern Bloc. No one seemed to acknowledge that much of the force for change came from China.
So given the degree of distortion of truth that has been the recent history of China, is there any hope of change? Is there any hope for free expression or greater degrees of freedom of expression within China, particularly in the light of the trade relationship with the West?
尽管现在就是说有这样严重程度的对于自由表达的践踏在中国，但是 你觉得有没有任何希望在就中国通过这种现在广泛的这种和西方的贸易关系啊，有没有任何希望我们能够达到某种程度的言论自由？最简单的一个道理就是，
集权是永远没有。The simple answer to that question is that as long as China remains a dictatorship, there can be little hope for change. The Communist Party won't tolerate any opposition. In fact, China now is in a worse situation than Burma, where the balance of power is at least shifting. In China, there are still strict controls in place to prevent the formation of political opposition or anti-government protest. Even within families, if someone expresses any criticism of the government, they're quickly told to keep quiet.
Does that mean that the only hope of truth-telling about China lies in the exiles, in the people like yourself who have chosen to live outside China and yet still write about China as they know it and have known it?
No matter how many prisons are built in China, the government will never manage to put everyone with a voice under lock and key. It's important for writers living outside China to openly express their views so that these ideas can find their way back into China and stimulate debate there. Inside China, most published novelists have avoided political debate and have directly or indirectly lent their support to the government. In China, we have to rely on a few maverick writers and artists, brave lawyers and independent activists and bloggers, to speak truth to power and to fight to protect people's rights. My personal hope is that China will rediscover the liberal, humanist elements of its traditions. I hope that the Dalai Lama will be allowed to return to Tibet and open new monasteries, that the Chinese will explore a multitude of religions and beliefs that will allow them to look at the world from different points of view. Only countries that embrace a wide range of conflicting ideas and opinions can remain stable and at peace.
Ma Chen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For more information about Index on Censorship, go to www.indexoncensorship.org.